as we just read in John's Gospel, it talks about how many things took place that aren't actually or necessarily written in the Gospels. And we know there are many stories like that. And I hesitated to share this particular story because I thought that everybody had heard it before. And I was surprised people earlier this morning said that they had not. And so I will start then with one of the unknown stories of Jesus after the resurrection. You know how then he was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and his disciples were out in the boat fishing. And there was a exchange between Jesus and disciples. They weren't necessarily recognizing that that was Jesus. And so Jesus tried to assure the disciples that yes, it was him. And they said, well, walk out to us to prove that you are. So Jesus began to walk out, but then as he walked, he just got deeper and deeper into the water, up to his knees and up to his waist, till finally over his head, he got to the boat and he was sputtering and wet and just angry. The disciples did recognize him and say, Jesus, you know, what happened? He says, well, it used to not be a problem to walk on the water, but now I have these holes in my feet. Now, who had heard that before? I've told it before. You've just forgotten it because it's so bad, huh? Well, I began earlier today talking about humor because April, I learned, is National Humor Month. National Humor Month. I guess it makes sense since the month starts off with April Fool's Day. I'm kind of surprised that we need to designate a month for humor. I think all the year should be designated toward humor, and we should focus on humor. There's a Native American creation story that talks about how the Creator gave human beings the ability to talk and to run and to look at things, to be inquisitive. And yet the Creator was not satisfied. And so he gave humanity the ability to laugh. And the Creator then said, now you are fit to live. There is a story about how God promised men that they would find obedient wives in all corners of the world. And then men discovered that the earth was round. But with humor, now you are fit to live. I emphasize, I think, how appropriate that is. And to live is to beyond just existing, beyond just being. But to be active and vital and full of zest and to find keen pleasure in life. As I look at Christianity, I strongly believe that people should have a sense of humor. Not just express things in amusing ways, but humor in the sense of being our disposition, our attitude, our frame of mind. It was said that a good sense of humor helps to overlook the unbecoming, understand the unconventional, tolerate the unpleasant, overcome the unexpected and outlast the unbearable. To have the potential to see the lighter side. And how humor presents hope. That the worst is behind and better things are coming. I think humor adds so much to the Christian. And the Christian life then, that we can carry it with us in being a light to the world around us. During the Easter season now, we revisit the stories of surprising discovery and how uplifting they are. The Messiah is Jesus. He redefined the meaning of what Messiah was and surprising the people of what it meant. And the stories are told with often the disciples and others being the foil against the backdrop of our human weaknesses and our human failures. But to remember, Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, said, "If I were given the opportunity to present a gift to the next generation," and here I would add not just the next generation, but every generation to come, "it would be the ability for each individual to learn to laugh at oneself." Humor is the imagination to perceive the ludicrous. That will provoke laughter. That which is funny. And aren't we all? I think of the stories in our Gospels and of Jesus' teachings and how often humor is woven in that, and it's important to discover that. I see humor in the women going to the tomb, and they find the stone rolled away, and there the men, the angels, the spirits that are present, they ask them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And I find that to be amazing, that they would address them that way. "Why do you seek Jesus among the dead?" What a ludicrous thought. And so our Gospels deal with the questions of believing. In Luke, we read last week how the disciples didn't believe the witness of the women. "That can't be true, that can't be true," even though Jesus had told them many times before that would take place. They run to the tomb because they're not sure what to make of the story. And now in John's Gospel, you have the story of Thomas. He's not present when Jesus appears, and so then he doesn't believe. But then Jesus presents himself the following week. And I just picture Jesus enjoying the moment tremendously and presenting himself before Thomas and saying to him, "Do not doubt, but believe." And the joy that Jesus would have in that statement. And how it would be punctuated with laughter. And the relief of the stress and the fear that had filled the lives of the disciples during those days. Each time Jesus meets with his disciples, he greets them with the expression, "Peace be with you." And the emphasis there is that God would give every good thing. To have peace is to have every good thing, which includes a sense of humor. So one is able to overlook and understand and tolerate and outlast, to be fit to live. And we are told then how Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, the breath of life." Taking us back to the story of creation, where God breathed the breath of life into humanity. And how God gives us life and the ability to live that life. And equips us to do so. So then we read of the apostles, how they speak these words of life in the temple, contrary and confronting the religious leaders. But through their display, through their speaking and through their teaching, they display the influence of Jesus at work. It is not that the disciples possess power, but it is the power that possesses them. And so they bear witness. They bear witness. God assures forgiveness and salvation through Jesus. And then Jesus, through his witness to the disciples, passes that along to them. To be the future witness. To give them courage and confidence to face the challenges that are before them. And it is the same witness that has passed from generation to generation. Bring into reality the words of Jesus when He says, "Blessed are those who have not seen yet come to believe." Yet come to believe. I don't know if you always appreciate my sense of humor. I don't blame you if you don't. But I try. I try. Because I do believe it's a great gift. A great gift for all of us to share. Amongst the gifts that Jesus shares, the gifts of peace, the gifts of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And then to remember that sense of humor. So then we are then fit to live. Amen.